The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians 6, verse 17b. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Chapter 16. The fourth and last enemy the Christian engages, made up of many troops of afflictions, together with his victory over them, obtained by the sword of the word. A fourth enemy that meets the Christian is an army made up of many bands of afflictions, both outward and inward, sometimes one, sometimes another, assailing him, yea, often the whole body of them pouring their shot together upon him. This was Paul's case. Without were fightings, within were fears. 2 Corinthians 7:5. He endured a great fight of external afflictions and buffetings within his own bosom at once. And that is sad indeed, when a city is on fire within, at the same time that an enemy is battering its walls without. Yet, this is often the condition of the best saints, to have both the rod in their backs and rebukes from God in their spirits at once. Psalms chapter 39, verse 11. When thou with rebukes doth correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. God sometimes corrects with outward crosses, but smiles with inward manifestations, and then he wipes them, as I may say, with a rosemary rod. The one sweetens and elevates the other, and at another time he sends a cross and encloses a frown in it. He wipes that outward affliction, and, as an angry father, every lash he gives his child tells him this is for that fault, and that for this, which exceedingly adds to the smart of the correction, and is the very knot on the whip. To see his father so much displeased with him, and when the poor Christian lies under the hand of an afflicting God, or another the rebukes of a frowning God, Satan will not be long from the Christian, or wanting to throw his salt and vinegar into the wounds that God hath made in his flesh or spirit, thereby to increase his anguish and to lead him further into temptation, if he can have his will. Indeed, God often sends so many troops of various afflictions to quarter upon someone Christian that it puts him hard to it to bid them all welcome and entertain them with patience. Yea, it would pose anyone that knows not what service the word of God doth the Christian and the supplies it brings him in. It conceives how his spirit and his faith should be kept from being eaten up and swallowed into despair by them. But the word of God bears all the charge he is at. This is his counselor and comforter. David tells us his heart had died within him but for it. Psalms chapter 119, verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. The word was his spiritual Abishai, from which his soul got all its warmth. All the world's enjoyments heaped on him would have left him cold at heart if this had not lain in his bosom to bring him to a kindly heat of inward peace and comfort. Verse 50 of the same Psalms. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Not the crown and hope, for some think it was not on his head when this Psalms was penned, but the word in his heart to which he was beholden for his comfort. A word of promise is more necessary at such a time to a poor soul than warm clothes are to the body in cold weather. When Adam was thrusted naked out of paradise in the cold blast of a miserable world, where from his own guilty conscience within and crosses without, he was sure to meet with trouble enough, then God gave him a word of promise, as you may observe, to fence his soul before he taught him to make cloaks coats of clothes close his body. Genesis 3:15 compared with verse 21. The Lord knew how indispensably necessary a word of promise was to keep him from being made a prey the second time to the devil, and from being swallowed up with a dismayed sight of those miseries and sorrows in which he had thrown himself in posterity. Therefore, he would not suffer him to lie open to the shock of their assaults one day, but presently puts the sword of a promise into his hand, that with it he might defend and comfort his sorrowful heart in the midst of all his troubles. It was the speech of a holy man after God had made that sweet place. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, etc. The messenger to open his dungeon of soul trouble and bring him into the light of it inward joy, that he had better be without meat, drink, light, air, earth, life, and all, than without one comfortable scripture. If one single promise, like an ear of corn, rubbed in the hand of faith and applied by the Spirit of Christ, can afford such a full, satisfying meal of joy to a hunger-bitten, pining soul, oh, what price can we set on the whole field of Scripture, which stands so thick with promises? Love is witty, and sets the head at work to devise names for the person we love dearly, such names as may at once express how highly we prize them, and also more endear them to us by carrying on them the high superinscription of that sweetness which we conceive to be in them. Thus, many holy persons have commended the promises to us with their approaching names, the saints' legacies, the breast of God, full of milk of grace and comfort, the saints' plank to swim upon to heaven. Indeed, we might rob the world of all her jewels and justly hang them on the ear of the promise, and apply all the excellences she has boast of unto the promises. There are more riches and treasures to be had in one promise than all the gold and silver of the Indies is worth. Exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter 1:4. By them a poor believer may lay claim to heaven and earth at once. For godliness hath the promise of this life and the other also. But that for which in this place I would commend their excellency is the admirable service they do, and the efficient secure they afford a poor soul in the day of his greatest distress. They are the granary of spiritual provision, whereby our Joseph, our Lord Jesus, nourishes and preserveth alive his brethren in a time of famine. They are a hive of sweetness, with a believing soul in the winter of affliction, when nothing is to be gathered abroad from the creature, both lies warmly and lives plentifully on the stock of comfort there laid up. They are, in a word, the fair haven and safe road into which the tempted soul puts his weather-beaten ship, where it lies secure till the heavens clear, and the storms are over which the world, sin, and Satan rise upon him. Yea, when death itself approaches, and the devil hath but one chance more for the game, one skirmish more to get or lose the victory forever, then faith in the promise carries the Christian soul out of the garrison of his body, where he hath endured so hard a siege, with colors flying and joy triumphing to heaven, leaving only his flesh behind in the hands of death, and that with an assured hope of having it redeemed out of its power at the day of resurrection and restitution of all things. End of chapter 16.